behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion. That'll determine what the future will bring, and I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views and the views of our guests, and well, today our special guest is Joel Skousen from World Affairs Brief, and he's going to bring us up to date with what's really going on in the world. Joel, thanks very much for being with us.
My pleasure, Dr. Stan. Always a pleasure.
Well, tell us, what are the issues we're going to be talking about today?
Well, of course, the hot issue this week is President Bush's immigration message taking prime time. This was very much expected, in my opinion. The anti-immigration forces had really reached a crescendo despite all of the marshaling of the Latino forces to get out there and demonstrate. It really kind of backfired in the sense that Americans were really fed up, and so they're pulling out all the stops, including a major presidential address at prime time, which frankly, Dr. Stan, I'm afraid, was just one of the most egregious. I thought the State of the Union messages were bad in terms of all of the hype and the lies and the double talk. Just topped them all.
Yeah, it really was pretty poor if you analyzed it. He said, though, what we wanted to hear, how concerned he was, but when he erased all the platitudes and saw what he was really saying, it was like, we're going to do something now, and we're going to get this legislation through, and we demand that the legislature come up with the sort of bill that I want, which is really going to give these people amnesty. But he says it's not really amnesty. They're just going to be legal here. We're just going to let them legal workers.
Well, he's taken the tact in the speech, frankly, of taking virtually all of the opposition arguments and saying, this is what I believe. These are my core beliefs, just what the opposition is saying. And it's not only a lie, it's an outrageous lie. He starts out and he says, we must begin by recognizing the problem with our immigration system. But why has it taken him, as Joe Frost said in a very beautiful rebuttal of his talk, he says, why has it taken you nearly 6 years in office and the worst terrorist attacks in the country to suddenly realize the United States is not in complete control of its borders? Well, the point is, it is in complete control of its borders. I mean, this is just ludicrous to say that we haven't been in complete control. You have absolute control. But you haven't been controlling it because there's another agenda. Border Patrol agents can tell numerous stories of how their bosses have assigned them to sectors where the immigrants don't cross. They keep them away from the major sectors. They don't send them back. They don't give them the resources. Everything's a fiasco about the control. Yes, there is some control going on, but it's token control. The government has had no intention of shutting down this illegal immigration.
And, of course, I think that basically so many of the points he made last night just weren't valid. He did make the point, it is illegal to hire people who are here illegally, and yet, of course, they don't do anything about it.
That's right. Now, he's stepped up some token enforcement, but still, all he'd have to do is march into the major hotels in any one of the resorts and just start arresting people But, he makes a point, trying to find it in his speech here, which just is, egregious. I guess we have a break coming up.
We have a break coming up, but we'll be back in just a moment. All right, fine. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Joel Skousen. We're talking about the president's speech last night, which was meant to placate you, to make you feel better, to sort of pat you on the head and say, just trust me. I'm the president. I'm elected to look after you. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Our guest this afternoon is Joel Skousen, and we're talking about the president's speech last night on illegal immigration, and Joel was just saying, the president has been president for 5 and a half, going on 6 years, and just now he's finding there's a problem. Just now he's going to start doing what he's supposed to do from the very beginning, and that was defend America. We can send our boys halfway around the world to fight the wicked Iraqis or try to find Osama bin Laden or whatever we're doing over there in the Middle East. Or maybe we're fomenting a civil war, but supposedly in the name of fighting for our freedom, but we can't defend our borders. And so pick up the story there, Joel.
Well, we left off asking about this issue of employers. You know, and Bush came up and said this: once here, illegal immigrants live in the shadows of our society. Many used forged documents to get jobs and makes it difficult for employers to verify that the workers they hire are legal. This is just it's just sheer baloney, Dr. Stan. Very few illegal workers use forged documents. These are expensive. They're difficult to get. They have to sit there and earn money. They have to get illegal jobs before they can earn the thousands of dollars it takes to get forged documents. And they only need forged documents if they go to employers who do have a strictly hiring situation. But that rarely involves, you know, the ones that are most egregious violators of the law. In fact, in the agricultural sector, I would bet you would find, you know, less than 70% of the workers there have any documentation whatsoever. They may have a driver's license. They don't have a green card or anything. But they're all over. You just have to go out to the fields and arrest illegal immigrants and go up to the employer and show them the evidence. I mean, it's a closed case. This isn't a matter of employers verifying falsified documents. This is an excuse on the part of the president to appear to be conciliatory to the employers because we feel your difficulty in dealing with these forged documents. That isn't the case at all.
But I think, you know, the thing is, he said, well, we need a guest workers program, and that's fine. We had a guest workers program. It was called the Vocera program many years ago. We've had other guest workers programs. They canceled all of those. They shut them down so they could encourage the illegal immigration. People find that hard to believe. If you wanted a guest workers program, you could establish it, but insist that the people go home and then come in legally. They don't want that. They want to make them legal because they want to transform America. Don't you really think that's one of their major objectives?
Well, of course.
Hold that thought right now. We bring other stations on board here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I was simply asking Joel, you know, why they didn't establish a guest workers program with people coming in legally to work in the fields when they're needed. And I suggested that they shut down the Vocera program and the previous guest workers programs we've had because they wanted the illegal immigration. Because
you want to water down the conservative vote. You bring in Mexicans, and, you know, probably about 80% of them will vote either Democratic or liberal leftist Republican. And it's not just the Democrats that have the socialist agenda now. The Republicans are outdoing the Democrats in spades. But it does water down the vote. It does create, in the presence of a socialist benefit-corrupted society, which we have become in the United States, it presents conflict, just as in Bosnia or Kosovo or in Iraq, where you have all of these ethnic groups vying for their piece of the productive pie. Whenever you have government doling out the benefits, the rights, the permits, the licenses, and you have people from various ethnic groups vying to get into position to favor those of their own ethnic group, then you have other people crying foul. And whoever captures the bureaucratic and the enforcement machinery of government then has power. And that's not the way that our government was originally set up. But that kind of conflict that is fomented by bringing in large ethnic groups where you don't have a unified language, where you don't have a unified judicial system, and you have constant complaints about minority prejudice and civil rights, and then you get all the kinds of laws that we had where everyone's discriminated against, well, at least whites are discriminated against in most of these laws. And Christians who want to be able to make choices about who they hire, who they rent a home to, which I think is very valid. They have to make group or decisions about people. You can't know everything about everyone or don't have the time to do a background check of everyone. So naturally, people need the power and the right to make class judgments. Class judgments are a form of discriminatory judgment, which is a fundamental right. It has nothing to do with race. Discrimination means I have the right to tell the difference between one person and another and make a judgment based on that. And This is part of the agenda to destroy one's fundamental right to choose, whether it's who to employ, who to rent a home to, who to hire. There's an awful lot of demagoguery involved in the arguments, whether it's in immigration or job loss in America outside the country. One of the things I continually try to reinforce in my interviews is that jobs don't belong to the workers. Jobs belong to the employers, the one who's paying. These aren't American jobs. These are employers' jobs. And if they're Americans, which most employers are, they have the right to take those jobs wherever they want, or at least to hire anyone that they want. Now, if they hire people from outside the country, I mean, it's one thing, you can take your jobs and your company and leave the country. There should never be any law against that. But if you hire people from outside the country in a true free market system, where you had open borders, you could have such a system with open borders, as long as there was high enforcement of anyone who came here without having a sponsor. In other words, you can come across the border if you have somebody to give you a job, and he agrees to be totally responsible for you. And that means everything. If the person acts up or has a matter of judicial conduct, the employer is held liable. Now, that would not make it so easy to hire illegals, or hire foreigners, even if they were willing to work for less money, because if you had to be responsible for these people, I mean, think of the liability, and think of what that would risk in terms of your citizenship or your property or your business. And so that would tend to put local workers who are citizens who would be responsible for themselves on a higher attractive standard than even cheaper labor. And, of course, things would balance out. And if you went across and found the very best people to hire, then people wouldn't have any problems with good people coming in and being hired. It would not be a burden on society. It would not be using welfare, and it would not be a criminal problem.
Just speak up just a little louder, or just a little soft there.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dr. Stan.
Go right ahead. All right, fine. Well, anyway, of course, this is a very much of a libertarian point of view with completely open borders, but be that as it may, develop this whole idea, because we have, a massive invasion of, some people estimate up to 20 million people. Certainly Bear Stearns has made that estimate. People quietly in government will not make that estimate, although the official government estimates, I believe, are specifically played down. After all, they lied to us in 1986 saying there were only 1 million illegal aliens and there were already 3 million. And I think that they're, once again, lying and deceiving the American people. Do you think that they're being totally forthright when they only say there are only 11 million?
Oh, I think so. I think they're understating it. It's probably along the line of 20 million. Depending on how many people have had illegal identification or bought into that system. But nobody really knows for sure. You'd have to round everybody up and check ID and green cards and everything to find out. And the United States Immigration Service has never even attempted to arrest illegal immigrants on a large scale. I still think, Dr. Stan, that you just cannot afford to enforce laws in a permissive way where you have no penalty for coming across the border illegally. To just give them a free ride home as the only penalty for breaking this kind of rule of law is just too permissive.
But, of course, in Mexico, if you were caught down there illegally and working down there, you're going to get several months in the juzgado, and I imagine those jails in Mexico are not too nice.
That's right, and they shouldn't be nice. They should be something where you've got to ransom yourself out, you've got to pay a fine, you'd have to get money back there, you'd put on work gangs. I mean, let's put these people to work and make them work off their... all of the public works that we have, and road maintenance, and cleanup. There's a lot of things that prisoners could do who were caught illegally, and they would think a lot, twice, three times, about coming across again. But, of course, Bush said this in his address. He says, we are a nation of laws, and we must enforce our laws. I mean, this is the most hypocritical thing to say.
And he's a man who specifically refused to enforce the laws.
That's right. And he says, now we are also a nation of immigrants and must uphold that tradition. Well, there is no law which says we must continue to accept immigration. It says it strengthened our country in many ways. It's also weakened our country in many ways, depending on the quality that comes in. They aren't, he says, they're not contradictory goals, but they are in the sense when you equate a tradition of immigrants with enforcing the laws, those are nowhere near equal. You have to enforce the laws if they're just and if they're constitutional. He says America can be a lawful society and a welcoming society at the same time. Well, I don't believe it can be with the agenda that they're welcoming them for different reasons. The people who are your most capable in Mexico can't get into the United States. It really is the illegal immigrants that they want, the ones who couldn't hardly even read and write and go up to an embassy and get a visa or fill out the paperwork. It'd be very difficult for them, but that's the ones they want.
Of course, I suppose they want them because they'll be able to manipulate how they vote and then use those votes to centralize ever more power with the ruling elite.
Yes, yes. So Bush says, and here are his solutions. First, the United States must secure its borders. Well, after 6 years, people have been calling to him to secure the borders. This is, he says, a basic responsibility of a sovereign nation. Well, where have you been for 6 years?
Well, because it really didn't start with George Bush. The same thing was true with Clinton, with the first Bush administration, even with the Reagan administration.
That's correct. It's been constant.
But he's the man in charge now, and he's been there for almost 6 years and steadfastly refused to enforce the laws of this land either at the borders or, as far as the employers who are employing people who are here illegally.
And of course, he now talks about, he's going to, he said he was the governor of Texas, of course, which was had a 1,200-mile border with Mexico. So I know how difficult is it to enforce the border. Well, he never attempted to enforce the border. How would you know how difficult it is to enforce the border? Sure, it's difficult when you're trying to enforce it with just a few thousand border patrol, most of who are sitting at bases or at home waiting for their rotation. When you look at how many border patrols per square mile, they're just stretched out so thin, there's no way that they can possibly handle all the traffic in the coming.
But, of course, they have sophisticated technology. They have satellites that can read, a newspaper from outer space. They have, they could have sensors. They could have the aerial manned or non-manned vehicles, airplanes flying up and down. They could have night vision goggles. They haven't done any of these things until recently when embarrassed into doing it by Glenn Spencer and a few other private individuals down on the border. But we're still not using the high-grade electronic technology we could stop these people coming across the border, because I don't think they really want to.
Well, that's right, and that's why he's not going to fence the border. He's talking about a few high-tech fences and patrols and satellites and other things, but that means that they can divert people so that they cannot intercept them.
I think that the most important thing recently is we find out that the Border Patrol is telling the Mexican authorities where the Minutemen are so they can come in other areas. What sort of madness is this? Our government is working against citizens who are trying to protect our borders, and I think that anybody who thinks that they really want to protect our borders really doesn't understand there is an entirely different agenda. All of this is simply a symbolism over substance, rhetoric over reality, the idea to give people the idea they're doing something when they have no intention of doing it. Well, our guest is Joel Skelton. Joel, pick up the story there.
Well, as I was saying, the border control that he is proposing is constructing high-tech fences in urban corridors. And that isn't where they come across essentially anyway, even though because there are generally some type of fencing. They go out further into the rural areas. They're going to build new patrol roads and barriers in rural areas. He doesn't specify what barriers there are in rural areas. He doesn't say fences. We will employ modern sensors, infrared cameras, and unmanned aerial vehicles to prevent illegal crossings. We have the best technology in the world, he says, and will ensure that the Border Patrol has the technology they need to do their job and secure our border. Well, the nice thing about fencing, and if you want to know how to control borders, you have to look at what the Israelis do. I mean, the Israelis put up fences and people don't cross those fences. I mean, they're triple fences with no man's land in between. And they do the job. And when people go through, they have sensors on the first barrier and the second and the third. I mean, you've got a lot of time to get to them, and they're in between the fences. you don't have to be hunting them out in the boonies and having a dangerous manhunt going through the chaparral and in the desert areas. And this is not an easy task. This takes a major SWAT team to go out and hunt down one person, and they can divert one or two people to run through the bushes while that attracts all of the U.S. Border Patrol forces, and then bring a group across undetected. Without the diversion of a major fencing project, you're just not going to stop any significant border. And they know that. They are putting forth a lot of money. They're going to throw millions at this project. But they know that it won't do the job, and we'll still have a problem in the future. And now another 10 years will go by before that problem becomes really manifest again. And then all of a sudden, they'll give us another solution, a phony solution. And before you know it, we'll have major, major stage 3 conflict.
But of course, what they really want is to change America. They want to convert us into a multicultural, multilingual society so they can play one group against the other. They know exactly what they're doing. I don't see why every American can't see it.
But you know, I'm most disturbed, Dr. Stan, by this proposal of using the National Guard. And they're talking about National Guard from Kentucky and other states around them. I mean, this is state money, federal money, hiring the National Guard. But these people have to leave their jobs. And there's no excuse to be using all of this expense to have people leave their jobs. This is a hardship on the employers who are forced to keep their jobs open so that when the guardsmen come back, they can still have their job. This is not an easy thing to cope with as an employer or a National Guardsman. There's no excuse for a permanent solution, which would be much cheaper in the long run than all of this high tech. You're going to spend $1 billion a year on border security, and it's going to be $1 billion that you continue to spend every year. And a lot of that could go into fencing, where you wouldn't have to spend anywhere near as much of that kind of surveillance technique. What I worry about, frankly, because in part of his security, talking about having a biometric identification for all of these guest workers that come in. And I think he's gearing up, of course, to get everyone used to having biometric-type national ID cards.
I think they create the problem because they really want every American to have to carry one of these cards. Don't you think that's really what
Absolutely.
It's all about?
And pretty soon it's going to be that everybody to get a job has to have one of these biometric ones. Otherwise, you have a Hispanic who's an American citizen who doesn't need a green card, and he goes to apply for a job, and the employer's going to say, well, where's your biometric identifier?
Hold that thought right there, please. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and right now our guest is Joel Skelton. We've got Ken calling from Fremont, but we're not going to open up the call. We'll take Ken's call, but please don't call until we ask for calls later on. Ken, did you have a question for our guest?
Yes, I have a proposal. I'd like to see what Mr. Skelton thinks of it to solve the illegal immigration problem in a positive way for both countries. NAFTA has devastated northern Mexico. This is a driver for a lot of the immigration. What about an oil for development exchange in which Mexico would sell its oil at a discount? We take $70 in the world market. Say they sold this oil at $60 a barrel. We give $30 to the Mexican oil company. We put the other $30 in a development fund, and we use it to pay for the conversion of Mexico into a first world country. We take thousands of Americans and Mexicans who are skilled, move into Mexico, create infrastructure and modern telecommunications and a classical education system, something that would upgrade Mexico, and we wouldn't have a poor country on our border anymore. What do you think about something like that?
Because I don't think we want a solution. I think we want a problem, Ken. But thanks for your call. What are your thoughts on what Ken said?
That's an interesting proposal. One of the problems that I see in implementation, though, is that Mexico is a very corrupt country, and there's a tremendous amount of corruption that depends on the government feedback benefits. In other words, they're spending so much of their oil revenue, literally 100% of that oil revenue right now is going into everything from corruption to infrastructure, and they don't have enough. I don't know how they could afford to say, or from the Mexican point of view, to agree, well, we want 100% of our oil revenues. Why should we give a discount to the U.S. and let them come in? There is a great deal of anti-American hostility in Latin America, especially about Americans coming in and showing us how to do things. That isn't to say that, that many of the middle class wouldn't welcome American technology to come into the country. But I would see a great deal of resistance on the part of the Mexican politicians of not wanting to sign on to this. I think it's a very workable solution in terms of a good deal for America, and it would be a good deal for Mexico, but it wouldn't be politically feasible because of the corruption element, which is taking 100% of the petrodollars from Mexico right now.
But don't you really think that our leaders really don't want a solution? They want the problem so that they can get us all to have biometric identifiers, so they can convert us from an English-speaking country into a bilingual country and really create the divisions. Don't you think that they really have an agenda behind this whole thing?
Of course, but, you know, it's even deeper than that. I'm worried about the fact that this increase, if he really wants to secure the border, and the fence is the cheapest, most efficient way to do it, and it is the most efficient and cheapest way because you don't have constant upkeep of the nature that you have with the type of surveillance of high-tech unmanned aerial vehicles and all the technology and the people to run those vehicles. But I think what they're trying to do, Dr. Stan, is use this immigration problem as an excuse to fund thousands of more surveillance aerial vehicles, unmanned UAVs, because it builds up a surveillance society. Those can easily be turned against normal Americans in times when they want to surveil Americans. If you have thousands of these fleets right here in the United States, supposedly for the border for now, but they could be used. The technology. It's what I worry about in all of the tens of and hundreds of companies that the U.S. is hiring mercenaries in Iraq. What are those people going to do after Iraq? Well, Iraq may never wind down. But I think we're building up a mercenary society, a society of unprincipled thugs who are not owing to the law, that are a law unto themselves. And one of the things that I've always told the alternative the constitutional conservatives who have been very worried about martial law, I said, the thing that keeps, there have been a lot of people saying, well, this is going to lead to martial law next week or next month. And I keep telling them the United States doesn't have the manpower to implement martial law. It takes hundreds of thousands of people to man a police state to take care of martial law. And lo and behold, when we look at what we're getting on all of these hundreds upon hundreds of mercenary companies that they're building and funding rather than paying our soldiers a living wage, they're hiring mercenaries. And I think they're going to have a major surveillance society built up of tremendous numbers of unprincipled individuals when they want them.
And of course, they can justify, we have to have a surveillance society. We've got to have spies. We've got to have everybody informing on everybody else because, well, after all, there's the wicked Osama bin Laden, and he's going to take away our freedom if we don't have a surveillance society here. And then, of course, I think that as we have increasing chaos with all the illegal immigrants, and, of course, the crime wave is already sweeping across America because of the illegal immigration and all the gangs that are coming in, the MS-13 gang and the 18th Street gang, and, well, I think Joel's absolutely right. We're just going to have a dictatorship to maintain our freedom. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Joel Skousen. And Joel, go right ahead and pick up the story there.
There's also the issue of the temporary worker program. He says, just has the audacity to say, I'm against amnesty. I'm not against amnesty at all, as long as you don't call it amnesty. For example, the Border Patrol has had this catch-and-release program, which is, in essence, how much of our money has been spent in the Border Patrol. They catch people, they don't have enough jail space, and so they have to release them. But it says that we're making it clear to foreign governments that they must accept back their citizens who violate our immigration laws. As a result of these actions, we have ended catch and release for illegal immigrants from some countries. That means that they have other countries, they still have the catch and release. As the formal policy. I will ask Congress for additional funding and legal authority. He doesn't need any more legal authority. They already have it, so we can end catch and release at the southern border once and for all. I mean, this is just incredible to make these kinds of statements.
And I think it's so important that our listeners understand the catch and release. First of all, if you are a Mexican national, why, of course, they will take you back across the border so that you can try to come in again. But if you are a foreign national, perhaps from a terrorist country or elsewhere in the world, then, of course, they want to give you a deportation hearing. And since they don't have any place to put you until you can be deported, they give you a little slip of paper that says you're to come back in 30 days. And you know the most amazing thing is, Joel, most of them never come back because there are no penalties for not coming back, and they just fade into our society. And I wonder how many of those people are trained terrorists from the Islamic countries.
Well, as you know, I don't think hardly anything is a trained terrorist from the Islamic countries, because we have open borders, and virtually if they wanted to carry out the simple, cheap terrorist acts that they are easily capable, a car bomb, a little bomb at a shopping mall, it should be happening daily in this country with the kind of open borders that we have. You cannot tell me that Al-Qaeda, supposedly the most well-armed and richest terrorist organization in the world, can't simply send hundreds of people across the border if they weren't a controlled terrorist organization. I think they are controlled by the United States. And the only kind of terrorism we ever get is high-profile terrorism. It doesn't do anything to really change what's happened in the United States, except it authorizes or gives people the impetus to allow government to take a great deal more power than they should have, to regiment our aviation system while they let Saudis fly in and out of the country without any scrutiny whatsoever. It's amazing what kind of double standard there is with this administration.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. All right, fine. Well, our guest this afternoon is Joel Skousen from World Affairs Brief. Joel, would you like to get your web page and your email site out there?
Yes, the World Affairs Brief, you can find all about it at the website. It's www.worldaffairsbrief.com. There's an awful lot of archived material on the website, free for the reading. The World Affairs Brief itself has a modest subscription price. It's my weekly analysis of the news, and you get a scrolling picture of all the top stories of the day posted by my researchers on the website every day. And these are already screened so that you only get the ones that are the most crucial stories. That's the benefit of going to World Affairs Brief for your daily news. And then on Friday, I do an analysis. We talk about the hidden agenda behind many of these stories, that you won't get in any other place other than listening to excellent interviews like Dr. Stan gives. So go to worldaffairsbrief.com to find out about the World Affairs Brief. And if you want to contact me via email, you can do so at joels@joelskousen.com.
Okay, that's joels@joelskousen.com. And let me assure you, this is well worthwhile reading. I look forward to getting it every week. I guess we probably, what, on Friday we get it, don't we?
That's right.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, one of the biggest stories about this legislation, and believe me, this is a whole, this whole lecture to the American people was done specifically to give a boost to the legislation, which was floundering. And just today, of course, the Senate announced a major push to get this legislation passed. It's brought right back up to the agenda, so everyone's prepared to move in tandem with the President.
After all, the President said, and I want the Senate and the House to give me that legislation that I can sign. And what he wants is legislation to make all of these, and I believe there are 20 million of them, legal. He'll call them guest workers, but you're going to make them legal, and that's exactly what they've always wanted, to totally transform America forever. Go ahead.
Well, it doesn't end just there. You know, a lot of us think that the purpose of the immigration bill, and that's why the President gets, I want a comprehensive immigration bill. Not just something, he was saying, to fix the existing bill. I want something comprehensive. What he means by comprehensive, he wants a program to make a permanent flow of temporary guest workers coming into the country. Now, he claims, of course, that they must return home after their term of employment. I can't imagine anyone, after experiencing the benefits of employment in this country going home voluntarily without becoming part of the illegal aliens again coming across, especially if they aren't eligible to work again. They'll just sneak right across and go back to work for the employer again because they've got some kind of identification, and it might be a little bit out of date, but still it's going to be a very confusing system. It's going to take a tremendous amount of bureaucracy to manage this. And what's more, that the president wasn't telling, that's in the fine print, is that these new guest worker programs, if you calculate out, and one individual has done this on the web right now, calculated out what that turns out to be in about 2015 or so, we're talking about 100 million more immigrants during that period of time.
100 million more. You think it's crowded, you know, in California now. Think what it'll be like as we increase at least by 25% the number of people we have, actually 30%.
Yeah. And so he's using the excuse, I mean, here we have, let's suppose we have even 12 million. I believe it's at least 20 million. You know, isn't that enough guest workers? I mean, look at all of the work that is being done by them. And in hotels and other things, and certainly there is benefits to the economy for having cheap workers do those things. But nevertheless, those jobs are being fulfilled. Why do we have to continue to double and triple those numbers every decade? Why do we need to continue these programs? Why don't you just simply deal with the programs, the illegals at hand, and even if you let them stay, if you shut down the faucet, it probably wouldn't be so bad, but they're not intending to. They're intending to increase the legal immigration with this bill by about fivefold.
A fivefold increase in legal immigration?
That's right.
Well, I don't think the average American really understands what these people are really up to, because, of course, that would be just simply a disaster. And, of course, I don't suppose there's any effort. He says they should learn to speak English, but I'm sure they're not going to make English the official language of this country, are they? In fact, it's so interesting now when you go to the president's website and you want to pull down the speech he gave last night. It's available in both English and in Spanish.
Yes,
and yet he's saying everybody should learn to speak English.
Yeah, we're heading for a bilingual society with all the conflict that's involved with that, such as they have in Canada. And it is a great expense to be able to put all the signs in two different languages, and I think it's totally unnecessary.
But, of course, it's so effective to play one group against the other. That's what it's really all about. I mean, in Canada, they play the French-speaking against the English-speaking against the French-speaking, and there is an animosity there. And in every country where they're bilingual, different languages, you have different cultures, you have that potential for conflict.
That's right. And that's where we're headed. The gang problem is tremendous, the way that it's growing. For example, there are riots right now in Sao Paulo in Brazil. The gangs have got out of control, and that's because the government decided to finally do something about them. It's interesting, as you play this permissive role for many years, and the gangs grow to where they become a major force that literally is impossible. It's like declaring war. It's a civil war within the Sao Paulo province. It's a huge province. You have some 25 million people in the Sao Paulo area. And you've got huge gangs that control a large facet of a great deal of that society down there. And when the police finally decide to shut them down, you got civil war on their hands. And you find out just how hard it is to control once you start to enforce the law. And that's what we found out, when they mobilized in these marches against immigration. When there was a threat to make it a felony, that's a real, to cross the border illegally, that's got real teeth in it. And boy, you talk about finding out how much resistance there is and how much you wait 10 years down the road when we get another 100 million people in here from Latin America, and you're not going to be able to change any of the laws, Dr. Stan.
Well, of course, I was thinking as I saw those 500,000 people demonstrating peacefully in Los Angeles, but what would it be like if you had 500,000 people demonstrating violently and burning cars and burning buildings and attacking the police? And don't think that can't happen. I can foresee this coming very, very soon as we enter a period of chaos and crisis in America, because I believe, of course, the ultimate goal would be to establish a military dictatorship. That's the only way you can maintain law and order. And after all, we have to have law and order in a civilized society. We are a nation of law.
Yes, it's going to be a difficult situation further. You know, the problem is, when I talked about in the World Affairs Brief last week about the three stages of this process, the first stage is where you allow more or less unlimited immigration and receive a lot of the benefits economically of hiring cheap labor. And then we need to find out it's a problem. You have the health problem of bringing in diseases, you have the crime problem, you have gangs, you have... That's just a matter of bringing in large groups of lower educated and lower class people into society. Then when you want to shut it down, you only reach that point of shutting it down when it's probably already too late, when stage two starts, and that is when they start to resist your efforts to enforce the law to deport them. Until you get to the point where President Bush says, what did he say, something about... There are some that want to... some in this country argue that the solution is to deport every illegal immigrant and that any proposal short of this amounts to amnesty. I disagree. It is neither wise nor realistic, the president said, to round up millions of people, many with deep roots in the United States, and send them across the border. Well, why not? I don't care how deep the roots are. If you're here illegally, you can be rounding them up. But it's a lot cheaper, frankly, than trying to process them all. I mean, if you don't have... the manpower to round them up and send them across the border, how do you expect to have the manpower to spend hundreds of hours to process them through a new temporary amnesty and guest worker program to monitor those individuals? And how do you expect to ever be able to deport them eventually if they don't abide by the conditions? And even then, according to the president's own proposals, you're only going to give amnesty supposedly to a couple of, temporary guest workers, about 60% of those, and all the people that have streamed across the border in the last 2 years are going to have to be deported.
Yeah, but, of course, how are they going to do that?
That's right. He says, you know, this is unrealistic, and we're not going to deport them. So he's contradicting himself in every way.
But I think, basically, they were just trying to pat the American people on the head and make them feel good and warm that the president now... Our great leader is going to do something about the problem.
Well, it's worse than that. It is him actually taking the arguments of the opposition and making them his, and it's an outright lie. And it does take away, you know, every time the opposition comes up and says, we need to, you know, enforce the thing, we need to close the border, and say, that's what the president's for. The president's for that. But the proof that he isn't for that, Dr. Stan, is that his boys in the Senate will work day and night to make sure that none of the provisions of the House, like the felony provision or the fencing provision, gets done.
And, of course, in 1986, they promised us we would just give amnesty to the 1 million illegal aliens who were here at that time, and that then they would start enforcing the laws. Well, then they found out it wasn't 1 million, it was 3 million, and they refused to enforce the laws. And then in 1996, they passed a new series of laws, and this was really going to take care of illegal immigration, and they refused to enforce those.
And those provisions had guest worker provisions.
Right. And they refused, of course, to bring in the guest workers because they didn't want a solution. They wanted a problem.
That's right. Clear back in the 80s, it was illegal by law for employers to hire illegal aliens. They didn't enforce it then. They didn't enforce it when it was reiterated in 1996. And I don't believe they're going to enforce it now.
No, because they have a different vision of America. They really, of course, have an intense hatred of this country, and of course they want to merge us with Mexico, with all the nations of Central and South America, and raise our living standards to that of the Bolivian peasant, and I think we're well on the way. Of course, I think many of the people listening today could not believe that our living standards should plummet, but I believe they're going to.
Well, toward the end of his speech, he played up, just like the State of the Union, about... you know, a wounded Mexican-American who was here, and you know, as he was wounded, he said he had two requests, and one of them to be made an American citizen. And so, of course, the president personally attended to this to make sure that he got all the legal or the public PR that's associated with that. He says, we're always proud to welcome people like Guadalupe Denogian as a fellow American. Our new immigrants are just what they have always been, people willing to risk everything for the dream of freedom. Well, we're losing our freedom as we speak because of the immigration problem, and that's what I'm most concerned about, is that this conflict being created is done so that we will get biometric ID for everyone, and we will have the surveillance society. And the president is literally thumbing his nose at the laws as more and more of the revelations come forth about telephone companies turning over telephone records to the, and of course that's red herring for the major issue, which is that the NSA has been surveilling all electronic communication in the United States while denying that they're doing so. This is very, very serious, and I don't know where it's going to end. It's certainly not going to end in favor of privacy rights, that's for sure.
Well, all we can do is just try to get the American people to understand that everything is part of a pattern. I mean, this idea of, monitoring American telephone calls and monitoring reporters, they've been doing this for a long period of time. And this didn't start, just recently. It didn't start with 911. It's been going on for probably at least 15 years or more through the Echelon Project. And why they're suddenly bringing this out now, I'm not quite certain.
Well, part of it... It's a little complex to analyze, but it's very real, the problem. Most of it is a diversion. For example, the president admits to a limited eavesdropping program, which is people telephoning terrorists overseas. And so there's this big hubbub about this illegal eavesdropping program. And why not go through the FISA legal process? And, well, it's too cumbersome. We need it instantaneously. And all of these excuses.
But now we find out that, of course, they're monitoring reporters for the various major newspapers.
Well, of course, this has to come out. What's happening is that everybody knows who's inside the system that there are most of the leaks that go to reporters are authorized leaks. And all of your major reporters of the newspapers who are quoting anonymous government sources have this list of people they can call and get information to write stories about. And, of course, the government's more than willing to comply, even though it's illegal, because they're allowed to control the flow of information to the American people by playing on these leaks. Now, we have to ask ourselves, why should the government be leaking things that are damaging to the Bush administration? This is a very complex process. But part of it has to do, I think, with the fact that the U.S. is setting itself up to be attacked in the next world war, and part of that attack has very much to do with George Bush and his agenda, or the agenda of the Cheney cabal behind George Bush, who's the puppet script reader. But this antagonism of the world is going to come back to bite us, and eventually they're going to blame it on someone, and that person is going to be George Bush. And I think much of what they have done in the past a year and a half to 2 years to let George Bush really look worse and worse in the eyes of the world is to foment this hatred, this disrespect for America, and this justification for those that are planning to retaliate against America to do so. We've given them a Dumbo of a president to make us look almost criminal in the eyes of the world. So much of what we're talking about, undermining the presidency, is very much plays into the hands of the globalists who want the U.S. to be despised and antagonized against by the people of the world.
Well, I think they're doing a good job of it. I think that there is growing hatred of America all throughout the Muslim world and even within Europe that has traditionally been our friends.
That's right. We, but clearly, on every level, we have these at the judicial level and at the presidential level lying to the American people. This total surveillance system is already in place. These revelations are simply getting people accustomed to what is already in place. And eventually, people will realize we have a total surveillance system.
And it's really been around for 15 to 20 years. They've been monitoring all of the telephone calls, and now they're suddenly just finding it. Oh, shucks. Well, it's only because, we want to get people who are putting calls into Osama bin Laden. Then why are you monitoring all the reporters? That was an article that just came out today. Ladies and gentlemen, they're not just monitoring the reporters and the terrorists. They're monitoring everybody. They're monitoring you. Why? Why? Because they want to know everything about you. They want to control you from the cradle to the grave. Well, Joel, we got 3 minutes for you to wrap up the program.
Well, the major point about, I want to make about the reporters being, you know, they claim that we're monitoring the conversations with reporters to find out who the leakers are. Well, this is just so much falsehood being propagated. This is misinformation, the height of misinformation, because, you know, these are government agents talking to reporters. These are not rogue agents. The people that talk regularly are authorized, and the proof is that. Everyone in the government knows that the government surveils the telephones of the people in the Pentagon when they're calling out. You have to. Counterintelligence requires that you be surveilling your own people in the FBI and the CIA so as to know of when someone is talking to other agents, etc. The FBI knew for 15 years that Robert Hansen was talking to the Soviets, and they let him continue to do so. You know, that's another story about why they did that. But they know exactly who's leaking to the reporters. Now, they have to monitor reporters because what they're interested in is finding out whistleblowers, the names of whistleblowers who are going to tell the truth to reporters, who are going to blow the whistle on the inside operations of dark side or black operations within government. Those are the ones that they're surveilling for. They're not surveilling for the regular leakers who are secretly authorized to talk to every major reporter. So that's my analysis of what's going on. And almost everything that you see, whether it's the Libby prosecution, is a cover for many other things that are going on that are much more important. But these things divert the attention of the whole world from the real issues and the severity of the surveillance problem.
It's all symbolism over substance, rhetoric over reality. It's the old idea that, you know, when you see somebody, a sleight-of-hand specialist, you see this one hand, he wants you watching that one, but it's what he's doing with the other one. And, of course, the surveillance has nothing to do with Osama bin Laden, has nothing to do with the reporters. I believe they just really want to check on everybody and find out what everybody's doing.
Yes, and not so much because they have an interest in everybody right now, but in the future. When real dissidents become stronger and come out of the woodwork, that's when we'll see the surveillance society become an enforcement society, when you'll have, once again in America someday, concentration camps.
And, of course, that's why they've given Halliburton over $400,000 to build detention camps, but it's simply in case, of course, of civilian unrest. We're out of time, Joel. Thanks very much for being with us. It's always a pleasure.
My pleasure, Dr. Stan.
God, bye-bye and God bless. Okay, fine. Well, that was Joel Skousen. I hope you enjoyed our conversation with him. Ladies and gentlemen, we have something called the Concentration Camp Special, and you'll actually see pictures of those camps. They're there. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and this is the time I would like to just mention that there is this conspiracy conference. It's going to be held at about 2 weeks from now. It's going to be held over at the Hyatt Regency in the Santa Clara area, and I'm going to be the featured speaker on Saturday. I'm going to be talking about what's happening financially to the world. My talk on the financial tsunami that is about to sweep across not only America, but the entire world, and Jim Mars will be there, and John DeCamp, and Will Thomas, and Ted Gunderson, a lot of people, great speakers. So if you're interested in knowing more about it, you can go to their website at conspiracycon.com or call 209-832-0999. That's 209-832-0999. That's Memorial Day weekend, May 27th, May 28th. May 27th, May 28th, and hope to see you there. And then, of course, if you'd like to get a free Radio Liberty newsletter, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And we'd be glad to send you a free newsletter, because we do hope many of you want to join the Radio Liberty family and help us as we reach out 5 hours a day across America with all sorts of fascinating guests, trying to make people understand America is under attack. We're going to lose this country, and behind everything are powerful spiritual forces. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, there really are secret societies. The man who controls the presidency today is a man named Dick Cheney. Where did Dick Cheney come from? He came from the Trilateral Commission. What is the logo of the Trilateral Commission? It is a circle with three sixes. And as the three sixes meet in the center, there is an upside-down broken cross. Do you think that happened just by accident? They knew exactly what they were doing when they made the logo. They understand the significance of six, six, six. What is the symbol of the World Future Society with has Maurice Strong and Barbara Marx Hubbard and Robert McNamara, the man who sent our boys over as a human sacrifice to bleed and suffer and die in Vietnam, but never to be allowed to move to win? Until we began talking about it, their logo was a circle made up of three sixes. Six, six, six. If you'd like to see the logos, of course, we carry a wonderful book. It's called Masonic and Occult Symbols. That's Masonic and Occult Symbols by Kathy Burns. You want to get that. You certainly want to get our newsletters. You want to get our three pamphlets on the occult hierarchy. All three of them together, only $9.95 plus shipping. You need to get the information. You need to help us get the truth out across America while we still have time. What will you say to your children and your grandchildren if one day you wake up and we're living in a totalitarian society? Will you say, I was too busy, I didn't believe, I didn't care, I really didn't care what sort of a world you were going to live in? Well, you and I have lived in a wonderful, wonderful society, but there are dark and sinister spiritual forces that are intent upon destroying America, and you need to know about them. Certainly my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, our video, The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning, the pamphlets on the occult hierarchy. This and so much other information is available. Go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. And you can see all of the various things that we have there. And we hope that you'll want to get many of them. And anything that we've actually produced, you have our permission to copy. They're poisoning the minds of the American children with fluoride. You don't believe that? Why don't you go to the website of the employees of the Environmental Protection Agency, the scientists, the lawyers, the engineers who work at the EPA? The website is NTEU280.org, NTEU280.org, NTEU280.org. Pull down the website, pull everything down, read it through. Understand, they're poisoning your children, your grandchildren. Recently, of course, somebody looked at the SAT scores, and in the last couple of years, they've fallen significantly. Why do you think that is? Why, very simply, they're destroying the minds of our children. Who would be evil enough to do that? Go to NTEU.org and read the material there, and then understand and join us in this epic struggle to determine whether this nation or any nation under God can long endure. Till tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.